Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about living with confidence, the confident joy that God gives us, a variety of things that that joy produces in our life that increases our confidence. How to use that in a way that's humble and not arrogant. And today we're going to focus in on a confidence to approach God and recognizing that the incredible privilege that that is. Ephesians 3, verse 12 says, "In him and through faith in him," talking about Jesus, "we may approach God with freedom and confidence." I suspect for many that is reassuring, it's comforting, but it's probably not the shock that it was to particularly the Jewish readers. But in reality, almost any first century hearer of these words, growing up in a nation that claimed to be one nation under God, in a Christian based household, community, taught from a young age to pray, to talk with God, to recognize his nearness to me. And I hear a verse that says, through him we have confidence to approach God. And I say, well, of course. It's what I would expect. It's what I'm used to. It's what I've been taught. But it hasn't always been that way. In fact, there was a great separation between God and mankind because of the holiness of God and the sinfulness of mankind. As God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and in the midst of their difficulties, and God wants to deliver to them instructions on how they ought to live, his rules, his commands, he calls Moses up onto the mountain to meet with him. But his first set of instructions we kind of almost overlook because we kind of have a tendency to focus on the Ten Commandments and the tablets of stone and the anger of Moses and the breaking of them and God having to rewrite, not write new ones, make another copy without a Xerox machine. But the initial instruction was for Moses to go down and warn the people to stay away from the mountain. That they weren't to get near, because God was going to descend upon that mountain and his presence would make the mountain holy, and for them to approach the mountain and to touch it would have deadly consequences. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been to Mount Sinai. But the mountains that I have gone to, it's kind of an interesting dilemma. Where does the mountain start? Now, some of the mountains I've gone to, they kind of seem to rise up from the surface of the earth. And from a distance, you kind of have an idea, at least, of where the mountain begins and where the valley is. But as you approach, it's a little more difficult to know for sure. And so I would suspect that because of God's warning, because of the work that they had seen God do in rescuing them from Egypt, there was probably a pretty big buffer zone. No one willing to push the edge. And as the nation of Israel developed and God gave instructions for first the tabernacle and then the temple where people would come to meet with him, to worship him, to offer sacrifices for their sin, there was still a separation, a place that people could come and draw near to God, but also a Holy of Holies that was off limits. To all but the high priest. And not just whenever he felt like it. And it was through the death and resurrection of Jesus that that veil that separated the Holy of Holy, the dwelling place of God, from the rest of the temple was torn in two. The invitation was issued. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's because of Jesus. We have confidence to approach God. I think of important people in life, people that we look up to, that we idolize sometimes more than we ought to, that we respect and that we revere. And some of them we know by reputation. We don't know them. They don't really know us. And we understand in the social settings of life how inappropriate it would be for us to just walk up and say, hey, how you doing? We create these social structures that dictate normalcy. And for most people, even going to an event where somebody that you look up to is maybe the keynote speaker, there's hesitation in going up and approaching that person. Well, there might be a reception or a receiving line or an opportunity that you get to shake a hand and say hello, but you generally wait until that opportunity is made known. And even then, at least for me, is this right? Am I doing this right? Is this the right time? Am I taking too long? Am I not moving quickly enough? What's going on? If that keynote speaker, if that highly regarded person is someone you know, a close friend, I suspect you have a greater level of confidence than simply approaching them and asking how they're doing, telling them how you're doing. And it's in that relationship that we discover a confidence to approach God because of Jesus, who has adopted us into his family, that we can cry out, Abba, Father, here I am. There you are. My day has been horrible. I need advice. I need wisdom. I need guidance. So my day has been incredible. Thank you for the guidance, for the instruction, for the presence. When we live in Christ, we have that confidence to approach God. Not because we've earned it, not because we're so good, not because we've accumulated enough status points, but because Jesus says, she's with me. I brought him. Welcome home. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has given us those things that we need in order to be right with you, in order to be adopted into your family, in order to approach your throne of grace with confidence, to find what we need in our time of trouble. And we do that because of the work of Jesus on the cross, because of the power that he has over death, his ability to defeat sin and its hold on us. And Father, while we do approach with some sense of fear and trembling, of respect and honor, we also approach with confidence. Knowing of your love, of your compassion, of your mercy, of your discipline, of your correction, of your rebuke, of all of the things that we need, of which you are generous in giving. So God, today, as we consider the birth of Jesus, the celebration of Christmas, may we recognize the importance that this event has in making a way for us to have a confident joy, a joy that approaches you with confidence, a joy that comes from you, that is based in you, that is expressed towards you. And so, God, today, may we be faithful in using this confidence to approach you, not for selfish reasons, but to approach you as our God, as our friend, as our Savior, as the solution to not just my problems, but to the issues faced by my neighbors, my family members, my coworkers, my fellow students, my enemies. May I approach you daily with confidence in all of those areas, that I would receive that which is needed, that I would give that which is demanded, the praise and honor that you deserve. And Father, as each of us approach you with confidence, may we lift up Jesus, that others would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.